I think that the things we get from Scripture need to be practical. The things that we learn of God need to go outside these walls. And if they're not practical, we won't practice them. And if we don't practice them, the world will never see how great our God is. And so today, we're going to continue our study in this book of Colossians about home health, how to have a healthy home. And today we're going to actually preach the other half of the message that I started last week. And we're going to talk about things going on outside the home that will affect the inside of the home. Colossians chapter 3, would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Father, we need you today in every aspect of our lives. We need you in this church so that we may glorify you in praise and worship and Bible study and teaching. Lord, we need you outside this church that we may live in the power of our Savior Jesus Christ, so that the world may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us through your word. Open our hearts and our understanding. Give us clear insight on how to apply your word, that, Lord, you may be honored and glorified. Most of all, Lord, I pray for those in this service today who do not know you as their personal Savior. I pray that you will draw them to you. Convict them of sin. Bring them, Lord, to a saving knowledge of you today. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you work all day and come home and the dog approaches you and your first thought is, if you don't get away from me, I'm going to kick the stuffing out of you? Or maybe some of you just skip that thought. Just go ahead and kick the dog. Or you get home and your dear wife says, how was your day? And you say, what's it to you? With this attitude. You know? And the reason that I say that is because there are so many that are just miserable in their day-to-day life. And you may say, what does these things that we're going to discuss have to do with the home? You know, if you work, your work is coming home with you. We talk about, I don't bring my work home with me. Yeah, right. No, you're going to bring it home. It's coming home with you. It's going to affect you. And so we've got to be able to do it right so that when we get home, we don't kick the dog or fuss at our dear sweet wives or your fine upstanding husbands if the tables are turned. Today, God gives us insight on how to have a good work life that will translate into a better home life. And we start with healthy servants. In verse 22, we read, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. The bondservant. Who is that? Well, today we don't operate on a level of servant or slavery, let's say, as they did in Bible days. We don't have slaves anymore. But this principle that is being taught in Colossians is a principle that would apply to those who have a job. Employees, if you will. And how that you're going to do that job. And so when we say servants here, understand that's who we're talking about. How many of you have a job? Just say amen. All right, so this does apply to you. Okay? And so you, if you have a job, you have entered into an agreement with the person to whom you work for, and you have basically sold yourself for a period of time. Now, most of us don't like, no, Brother Doug, I don't like that, sold myself. Well, you've sold your time. If you're supposed to be there from 8 to 4, then you have sold that portion of your life for a paycheck. And you, that servant, should serve that employer during that time frame as his servant. And I want you to know from the very beginning, if you are an employee, the way that you fulfill your job, your work ethic, reflects on your God. That's why this is, that's why Paul goes in such depth here. So if you're a servant, and you are, there has to be a standard by which you work. And that's what Paul lays out here, the standard for the servant. He says that in verse 22, I'm going to read that again. Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily. That's our work standard. A standard to begin with of obedience. A standard that knowing someone else is the boss. And that's all right. As a matter of fact, if you look this in the words that it says in verse 22, bondservants, obey. That word obey is the same word used in the first of this study where it said, wives, obey your husbands. It's the same word. You are being paid to do a job, not to waste your boss's time. Okay? He basically is paying you for the time, and that time belongs to him. And he does not pay you to goof off. No amens? If you're on the clock from 8 to 4, that clock belongs to him. That time belongs to him. You're being paid to do a job, and he's not paying you for anything else but to do that job. You're not being paid to demonstrate. I've never gotten over the fiasco with the NFL and the bowing the knee at the national anthem. You know what? The way I look at that, besides the fact that it's just wrong to disrespect our country, okay? Besides it's just wrong, but they are employees. They are paid to do a job, not paid to demonstrate. If you want to demonstrate, demonstrate on your own time. Don't waste your employer's time. Don't waste your employer's time by visiting with other employees. Have you ever known anybody that couldn't get their job done because all they could do is talk? You're not being paid to talk. You're being paid to do a job. Do you know what? You're not even being paid to do Bible study. You mean I'm not supposed to study my Bible at work? If you've got a break and he's designated 15 minutes for you to do whatever you want to, then do your Bible study then, but don't take his time to do your Bible study. You see? There's a work ethic. And if we are to set the example, I believe with all my heart that every Christian should be the best employee that could be possibly had by an employer. When somebody decides, I'm going to hire somebody, the first place they should look is among God's people, because they know what a good employee they're going to make. Number one, obey. Do what they tell you to do. Don't waste their time. Number two, be dedicated. If you'll notice, it says, not with eye service. That word eye service, it means service rendered for the sake of impressing others. But the idea is there is no dedication. You know, have you ever known that employee who kissed up trying to climb the ladder? Tell the boss exactly what they want to hear. Tell the boss exactly, you know, what was appropriate for that time. But when the boss turns his back, there's no dedication, no loyalty, no love. I'm a little bit old-fashioned. I believe if I have a boss, I need to be faithful to him. Do you know I have a boss? And it's not the church. My boss is God. And the way I serve God is very, very important. And you're going to discover the way you work and the way you, you say, well, Brother Doug, you're a pastor, you're different. No. No. Because what you're going to discover in a minute is that your loyalty to your boss will reflect on the God you serve. Don't just do that eye service and say the right things at the right time. Be loyal. Have your boss's best interest at heart. That's your job. He's paid for you to do that job. Number three, have integrity. Have integrity. Sincerity, Paul put it like this, in sincerity of heart. Do the best job that you can possibly do. Have you ever been at work and slapped something together and said, well, that's good enough? No, it's not. Is that the best you can possibly do? Is that the absolute you've put in 100% effort, not wasted the boss's time that he's paid for, and you have done the absolute best that you could possibly do? If not, you have an integrity problem. Oh, and here is the big thing. Number four, the attitude. The attitude. What's your attitude at work? Let's go back. Verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily. Say heartily. Not hardly. Heartily. Meaning with all your heart. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. And knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord. The best thing that you can do as an employee this week is quit. Quit serving your boss and start serving the Lord. Okay? I don't mean quit your job. You leave here, Brother Doug said, I can quit. I'm walking out. No. I'm saying change your perspective. You're not serving that employer. You're serving God. And that word heartily, the Greek word is psyche. It's where we get psychic. It's that inner man and that adjust your attitude. And, you know, 85% in the Gallup poll released in 2017, 85% of people in the world, not just America, hate their job. They're not happy. They hate their job. And I thought, how sad. If you hate your job, you're working for the wrong person. I'm going to help you with it, okay? Stay with me here. You're working for the wrong person. Quit working for that man and start working for Jesus. For you, let's go back one, for you serve the Lord Christ, even at work. You are not working for your boss. You're working for Jesus. How, Brother Doug, how's that possible? How is that possible that I'm working? You mean I can work at Walmart and work for Jesus? Absolutely, every step you take. You mean I can sweep the floors for Jesus? Absolutely, every step you take. You know what I discovered as a pastor a long time ago? I better work for Jesus. Because when I start working for people will do something I don't like. Now, I'm not saying I'm always right. But I still might, I don't like. And when they do something I don't like, I get a little irritated. And when I get a little irritated, my attitude goes south very quickly. Does that happen to y'all? Get mad at work, get a bad attitude? Same thing for all of us, okay? But when I start working for Jesus, when I've got to make a visit and I take the time, Lord, I'm going in the name of Jesus for your honor and for your glory. You just work it out for your honor and for your glory. And that's on my mind when I get there and make that visit, whether it's in the hospital or it's in a home. It's all right. I enjoy it. But when I get to working for people, and preachers have this problem, we get to working for people because church members expect this and they want you to do that, and and it'll turn your attitude. But it's not just preachers. Every one of us is working for Jesus. And I've come to the point that, I don't work for church. I don't study to preach. I do all that to honor Jesus. And you'll be amazed at how it'll change your outlook. Because you do something that somebody don't like, you say, well, that's okay. Didn't do it for you anyway. Did it for Jesus. And besides that, did you know you're just as accountable as I am? For my daily walk. Verse 24. I'm sorry. Verse 25. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he's done. And there is no partiality. If you're a bad employee, you better know real quick it's going to come back around. It's going to come back around. It'll bite you. So the bottom line, be all you can be for Jesus Christ. If you sweep floors, Brother Doug, you don't understand. I work at the fast food window at McDonald's. Glory to God, you got a job. It's great. When people drive through and smile at them. Brother Doug, I sweep floors. Every time you push that broom, push it to the glory of God. Brother Doug, I don't have an important job. Oh, yes, you do. You have the job that God has prepared for you at this point in your life. Honor God with that job. Quit whining and complaining and honor God right where you are. Yeah? That's our requirement as Christian employees. Now let's go on. If we're healthy servants, we also need to have healthy masters. Chapter 4, verse 1. Masters. Who are the masters? We're going to call them the employers because that's basically what they are. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Give. You see, that kind of goes against the employer mentality. But that word give, the idea there is to grant from one's own resources. And if you have employees and you're the boss, God has not placed you upon this earth so that you can hoard up all the profits to yourself and have a beach house somewhere that you spend your winters at and a winter house somewhere else that you spend your winter. No, your responsibility is to give or to take care of your employees. Take good care of your employees. Take responsibility for their well-being. You see, I'm still of the mentality, one's got to ask, how much is enough? I look at the billionaires and bazillionaires. And how much does it take before you have enough? At what point do you start looking at the people who are making you the money and say, wow, I have what I have because of these people that are walking and working every day? That's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, take a look. Take a look, Master, and take responsibilities for the people that are serving you faithfully every day. Be a generous master. Be a just master. Now let's talk about paying employees. How many of you want to make more money? Bless your heart. How many of you want to make more money? Let's be honest, okay? There you go. Absolutely. Absolutely. Masters, employers, how many of you want to pay more money? The just master, it means to give what is just. That word just, it means righteous. Conforming to the standard of God. This is where it gets deep for the master, for the employer. You have got to conform to God's standard. What do you mean, conform to God's standard? Well, God's standard is this: love your neighbor as yourself. And if you're an employee, you should love your employees as yourself. I'm sorry, if you're an employer, you should love your employees as yourself. Meaning, you should have the desire for their good. Do you realize that if you are an employer, you are simply the administrator of the blessings of God? If you determine the salaries of your people, you are the administrator of the blessings of God. And you have a responsibility to take good care of your people. Especially if they are doing a good job. Simply put, if God has blessed you, you bless them. Your servant should know that if your business is doing well, then you're going to make them or cause them to do well. Yeah? Isn't that reasonable? Come on, employees. Isn't that reasonable? Take care of your people. It's simply what Paul and what God is saying here. Take good care of them. It would be something if every organization in the world approached their paychecks from the standpoint of how much can I possibly give my employees, instead of saying, how much do I have to pay my employees? If the employer's attitude changes, the employee's attitude just may change. You think about that? Take care of your people. If God's been good, then you make sure that they enjoy the blessings also. Be a generous master, be a just master, and be a good master. He said finally, give your bondservants what is just and what is fair. That word fair means of equal value. Now, this is where it really gets dicey. I'm going to give you the Doug Hambrick translation. Pay them what they're worth. A lot of us can't work that cheap. I realize that. But that should be a motivation for both sides. All right? Pay them what they're worth. Give them, if your business is doing well because your people are working really hard and doing a good job, you make sure that you're not a cheapskate. Don't be cheap. If you're cheap with your people, you can expect them to be cheap with you in the service that they provide. You see, what we discover is, it runs both ways. When employees become conscious of the work that they're doing and desire to do the best work that they possibly can, and employers begin to assume responsibility for the employees and say, I'm going to make sure they've got the best life that they can have because I'm going to pay them the best possible pay I can possibly give them. When everybody starts looking out for everybody else, Isn't that the way Christianity is? Isn't that who we are? Isn't that who loving your neighbor is? You want to know why homes are such a... Are one of the reasons why homes are such a rugged place? Because we live in a dog-eat-dog world where people don't care about people anymore. It's get what you can on your way and rain on the rest. And this is absolutely opposite. And you know, there at the end of verse 1, he said, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. If you're a boss, if you're an employer, you better know that God's going to hold you accountable for what you or how you treat your people. If you are an employee, you better know God's going to hold you accountable for the job that you do from day to day. Bottom line, it's taking our faith outside the church. It's letting the world see that we are a people of integrity and character. It's letting the world see that we can be trusted, that we are going to be loyal. It's letting the world see how awesome our great God is. Okay? You see, the long and short of it is, the way we live every day reflects upon the God that we serve. All right? And people are watching. And if you'll throw away your employer's time that he's paying you for every day, I promise you, somebody's watching. If you're an employer that doesn't take care of your people, I promise you, however many people are working for you, they're watching you. And they're saying, he says he's a Christian. You know, we should want people to look at us and say, boy, it's obvious he's a Christian by the way that we treat people in our daily life. Are you a child of God? Are you saved? If not, God has brought you here today to give you the wonderful opportunity of salvation. You've got to know this. Jesus Christ gave His life upon the cross of Calvary so that you could have eternal life. He died for you because you're a sinner. He took your sin upon Himself, and today He offers you His righteousness, His perfect righteousness. Forgiveness of sin. Are you a child of God today? If not, the Bible says if you just call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. You come to the Lord today in repentance, turning from your sin, turning from whatever you've been trusting in, and turning to Jesus, trusting Him for salvation. Begin your walk with Jesus today. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, this invitation is for you. If you're here today and you've never took your public stand by following the Lord in scriptural baptism, I'm going to ask you to come. And let's get that set up. And if you've done both of those, I'm going to ask everyone here, let's be very conscientious and even take this invitation for time as a time for God and ask God to empower us to live for His honor and for His glory every day that He gives us breath so that the world can see that we're different. You know, I get tired. One thing I do get tired of, and I get tired of hearing from the world, Christians, they're just all a bunch of hypocrites. Well, I can point fingers right back at them with the best of them. But I don't want them to be able to say they're a bunch of hypocrites. I want them to see my great God that lives within me every day that I live. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to look into Your Word and to learn of You and just to learn that Christianity is not what we say, but, Lord, it's what we say and how we act from day to day. Help us, Lord, to be good employees and employers, good servants, good masters, so that the world can see the example that we set and glorify You. Lord, now as we come to this invitation, I pray that Your will be done, that You will freely move among us, that You would convict of sin and draw all men to You. And I pray, Lord, that You would give us a heart to respond. Lord, we love You, and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.